Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dubai. Premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a brilliant quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to review, preview even AEW Rampage. A show with lots of exciting potential matchups on there. Darby Allin and the Butcher, Fuego del Sol teaming up with Bear Country to take on the House of Black, Layla Hirsch versus Red Velvet, and of course, Max Caster versus Keith Lee. Where to start, Sidge?
Well, it's difficult because nothing jumps out at you or me or whatever is like a proper main event.
Mm.
There's no Christian versus Kenny Omega, Danielson versus whoever. This looks like a really fun middle portion of Dynamite, which is what Rampage has almost become. I figure with the special start time, I love that. We've got a special start time, guys. It's a total worker euphemism for we've been bounced around the schedule. We're probably not going to give you the best stuff we've got. We'll give you something fun, but this special start time is we've been told to go into an even worse slot than we already have for the show. So I think on that basis, the best we can hope is a 7.5 for this show, but it should be a very fun one. A lot of the character interactions should really be fun. Nothing to like lose your mind over. Nothing of huge ramifications. But as you said, there's a lot of fun stuff, I think, potentially on this card.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of when SmackDown went to FS1 for a few weeks and they were like, well, we're on a special channel now. Like, no, they've just decided you're not the priority now. The March Madness or whatever it is for basketball at the moment. Let's start with Darby Allin then. He's battling the Butcher, Andy Murray's favourite, of course. And you want sense there's more developments in the ongoing storyline featuring these guys, the AFO, the Hardys. I don't know, do you think they're heading to potentially the Hardys fighting Darby Allin and Sting?
Potentially. I think that Jeff Hardy will really want to work with Darby Allin one way or the other. I think he's on record saying that he's a big fan of his. Obviously, the similarities between the two in terms of their dispositions and ring style. They've been drawn together in this sort of sprawling storyline for a reason. So I do expect it kind of to happen at some point. I don't think either, like, you don't want to boo. I mean, I would boo the Hardys. Like, I'm not the biggest Hardys guy. I've said this quite often, but I don't think the general audience would want to boo Sting or Jeff Hardy. So if it does in fact happen, it will be a all babyface match. I've got to be honest with you, Wilborn. I'm sat looking at a lateral flow as we speak, trying to determine whether I can see the most faint line possible or if it's shadow playing tricks on me, which, again, it's like, Now, nah, there's a line there. There's a sort of thing where, like, if you're just doing a routine asymptomatic sample test, you're thinking, eh, I can't really see a line.
Mm.
But deep down, you kind of think, oh, God damn it, there's a line. Mm. Yeah. But it's good for me because it was glowing red on Monday, and that is the faintest line you'll ever see in your life. So it looks like I'm absolutely on the mend. Did you ask me to preview a match here, Darby Allin versus the Butcher, or just talked about? It should be class. It should be great. They know that this is a flattering combination that should yield some chemistry for reasons that, you know, aren't particularly, like, for reasons that, sorry, are very, very obvious. So I'm just looking at this line, very professional. Because the Butcher, he was in incredible shape and has enhanced this incredible shape he's gotten himself into with this awesome new look as well. The Butcher rules. The Butcher is a very large man who's a powerhouse, whose work is all the better for the fact that it doesn't look particularly refined. Darby Allin is a real thin skateboarder guy who's going to get battered, thrown around, and the only way he can come back against a man of these proportions is to do that absolutely incredible suicide dive. This is going to be an incredibly fun spectacle that Darby Allin, being so great at what he does, he continues to be very underrated when people talk about the very best wrestlers in the world. He's so great at what he does that he's going to do a comeback on the Butcher that's going to feel like earned despite the size difference. So this should be fun. This should be crafted together in a much better way than you would expect. Darby Allin's not going to win. But this is one of those things where you look at the match graphic and you realize, cool, there's going to be some super fun, gratuitous, like almost cruel violence in this. Yeah. Just look at the two names on this graphic. But even before you look at the match graphic and think that, can you remember around about this time last year, actually, AEW did their very first house show that went untelevised called The House Always Wins?
Yes, I do remember.
It was the WrestleMania weekend. They did it at Daly's and they got like a decent house in for it, but it was like just, oh, it's weird that. I just think they thought, you know what, it's going to be a few extra people in Florida who might get a house show, whatever. It was odd, but it happened, and they didn't rule any cameras there. The Butcher won a battle royale in the first match, which was held to determine a one-night number one contender for Darby Allin's then TNT title, and Darby Allin versus the Butcher headlined it. So they must have thought it was a good idea then, and they must have thought the match was such a success on the night that it was worth running back on TV at some point, and we've reached this point. So what I'm saying is, as excited as you might be for a bit of fun, this is something that they know is a good match as well. It doesn't just have the potential to be a good match. It's actually something successful that they are running back.
Plus, there's potential for some shenanigans with Sting and the Blade at ringside as well, which always gets me very much excited. Big talking point today on social media, Sige, a potential new member of the House of Black. General consensus being it is Julia Hart with the whole eye patch tease. In the interim, the House of Black take on, and one would assume, truck, Bear Country and Fuego del Sol. This is going to be a really enjoyable destruction, in my opinion. I do not like everything outside of wrestling when it comes to the House of Black, but my God, Buddy Matthews, Brody King and Malakai Black, when they work together in a match, as we saw at Revolution, or at the buy-in of the Revolution, just great to watch.
Yeah, I like the act as much in the ring as I'm just sort of apathetic towards it outside of the ring. That match on the buy-in, like, I'm hesitant to, off the top of my head, say it's the best pre-show match of all time, because WWE presented quite a few 205 Live matches on pre-shows. A lot of them are 3.25-star. If the crowd was hot, it would have been much better because the work was great. But I'm pretty sure they did one or two that were actual really, really, really good matches. But I would go as far as to say that one of the buy-in was excellent. And again, this feels like something they know that they've got, and they've carefully selected a crop of opponents, ill-fitting though they are, to maximize the brilliance of this, the in-ring chemistry of this stable. Bear Country are going to have some kind of interaction with Brody King, that's going to be incredible. Like, not only are they going to work like big men, but they're going to do that to begin with, and then they're going to do some absolutely incredible head drop or dive to the outside that's going to have that incongruous quality that's all the cooler for the fact that these men have no God-given right to be doing the, like, sort of dynamic aerial-based stuff that they're doing. Fuego del Sol is an excellent prelim job guy. Buddy Murphy kicking him just to death is going to be really, really cool. Malachi Black dropping him with that jumping knee strike, which always looks incredible. Like, Fuego del Sol can take a bump and he can draw sympathy, and that's exactly what he needs to do, and that alone at this point in his career, and maybe forevermore. If he can sort of withstand it, he's still got a cult following. It's all probably faded from where it was last summer, let's be honest, but he's probably still got enough of a connection with the crowd, and he can probably strike one all over again, because his work in this specific role is so strong that if he sort of does enough to withstand a beautifully violent strike-based assault, tag in one of the big lads, set up this finish, like, this should be really fun, and it should have a little bit, with Fuego del Sol being there, of an emotional undercurrent as well. It's just, good booking isn't just who can create stars, who can sort of pen beat for beat the best long-term storylines. It is which promoter is best at scanning his roster and thinking who pairs well with who. And sometimes, particularly when wrestling never stops, 104 television shows per year, sometimes you really need to draw deep with that inspiration and get really inspired and think, right, there's an obvious winner and loser here, but we're just building an act. Who's the best at taking this loss on this given week? And putting Bear Country with Brody King and Fuego del Sol with Pac and with Black and Matthews, it's genuinely inspired booking. It's going to be like, we talk a lot about the Gentleman's Three, and it's generally like a negative term of, it's a pretty solid but boring, inessential match that didn't really do anything for me, but the work was so competent that you can't not give it 3 stars. This is going to be the anti-Gentleman's Three, where I think 3 stars is its ceiling, but I'm going to have so much fun on the way of getting there.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see the Bear Country lads going up against Brody King, and I just see the finish being, and I'm a sadist, so I'm really excited, Malachi Black kicking Fuego del Sol's head into like the 5th row, basically. I don't think you need any mist or any of that bollocks really here. Just have them get wrecked and set up, yeah, the further domination of the House of Black before we see a new member potentially join. What, we reckon that Julia Hart maybe gets unveiled on Dynamite next week?
Oh, potentially. But it's weird, like, they've completely dropped this on television. I know she's still appearing on the YouTube stuff. I thought they dropped this. And it's one of those where it's like, I cared so little about the development that until it was pointed out to me, I'd completely forgotten that all of this had happened. It's, if nothing else, it's a good idea to build heels, given that we've just crowned a brand new babyface women's world champion. So there's a potential TV level challenger in a heel House of Black associated Julie Hart. And being around like senior wrestling minds, which, let's face it, Pillman and Garrison aren't, can only sort of help at development in the sort of way that we won't see for however many months or years, but down the line, it will, going down the line here, it will absolutely help her in some way, shape, or form.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, that allows me to segue nicely into the match tonight between God Bless You, God Bless Me, God Bless, against Red Velvet. Looking at the rankings, and I realise Leila Hirsch literally just fought Thunder Rosa for the number one contender shot at Britt Baker. You could see this again as a, because they both think they're both in the top five as of the rankings this week. This could be, you know, a potential stepping stone to a world title match. Who do you think should be Thunder Rosa's first challenger for her newly won AEW Women's World Championship?
Let's go on the roster page very briefly, because my initial idea looks like it's not happening, because I don't think there's any way to end this Deeb Sheeta storyline without the babyface sort of righting the wrong and avenging the fact that she was injured out of a fair competition. Like, it's not necessarily ideal, because I think a lot of people are really high on Serena Deeb's in-ring work. And we've seen quite a lot of Sheeta. Obviously, she was the record reigning women's champion. So I think a lot of people are more bothered about seeing Deeb in a higher spot than Sheeta at this point, just through exposure. Wrestling fans are fickle. We want something new all the time.
Me and Andy were talking about this yesterday, because you've got this weird dynamic at the moment. You've obviously got Double or Nothing on the horizon in May, but in the interim next month, you've got Belle on the Beats. So you've almost got to crown her, and I hate to use this word considering the history of the TNT Championship, an interim title challenger, followed by, like, right, this is the proper title challenger as we head towards the pay.
Yeah, absolutely. So my initial idea obviously was Deeb, particularly because she likes to torment rookies, where Thunder Rosa likes to actually train them and develop them. It's a perfect storyline, and hopefully we will arrive at it at some point. But babyface versus heel storytelling, when you, because he kills Sheeta if she doesn't win this feud, because the whole point is people get wrapped up in things like the wrestlers they like succeeding, or the better in-ring wrestlers getting the push. Like, with their internet wrestling sort of minds on. But if you look at it as a story, which WWE have made it impossible to do for the past two decades, but if you look at it like a story, like, Sheeta has to win, because that's what wrestling is. So you could do Sheeta versus Thunder Rosa in a sort of respectful run back of All Out 2020, I believe it was. So you could go that route, but if you look at the heels, Leila Hirsch just did a job to Statlander, so she could get reheated. That's all a bit WWE if in fact she gets it on the back of beating Red Velvet. Jamie Hayter could go on a bit of a tear, building her up, because if you get Jamie Hayter built up to a point where she can narrowly lose against Thunder Rosa, that could be the whole, are you going to bring the belt back to me from Britt Baker's perspective, and then we can have a match for it, getting it away from Thunder Rosa, who she hates at any cost. But then Jamie Hayter's like, actually, no, hang on, I'm going to have it. It's a bit like the Wardlow MJF stuff, but it's been a bit like that to begin with anyway. Yes. So I could see them doing something with Hayter, and then bringing Hayter back into the orbit of Baker. In terms of heels, it's lacking. If you go through this roster, Serena Deeb probably going to lose. And the Bunny, it's become a meme at this point how much they've relied on the Bunny, and it's such a disservice to how much she's improved in the ring, because it just feels like a fallback option in lieu of the fact that they really don't do a good enough job of building the building the depth of the division. They could do no worse at this point than turning Ruby Soho heel.
I was literally just thinking that,
She's a bust. Like, I'm sorry, she's a bust. She's not as over as she was. She hasn't lived up to the hype. She hasn't done the thing that's at this point expected of the former WWE talent, and that is go out there and show them why WWE was stupid to release you and why you're so much better than the booking. She hasn't actually done that in the face role, but it's very corny, but wrestling's a corny business. If you want to reheat someone, you turn them. You just turn them. It's just what you do. So there are options, but 2 years in, there should be more.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you see it going tonight with Layla Hirsch and Red Velvet?
I think Layla Hirsch is going to win, get a heat back. It's too soon to run back Jade versus Red Velvet if, in fact, this match has got TBS title ramifications as well. And Layla Hirsch is the pushed commodity. They've invested as much screen time in her as Statlander. And I expect that it's get your heat back stuff. It is. It's not the most elegant, well thought out. It's a bit cheap storytelling, but that's where we are at, I think.
I think that's fair. The other potential main event of this show is Keith Lee versus Max Caster. You've got the sort of shadow hanging all over this of Team Taz, the warning that Keith Lee got, the encouragement, let's say, that the Acclaimed got from Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. They're coming on, Keith Lee's coming on his show and he's not going to be walking out of it, basically. What do you reckon is going to happen, aside from Keith Lee probably beeling Max Caster all over the ring in the match? And is this the start of, or not the start of, but, you know, further development of a potential babyface turn for the Acclaimed?
Potentially, but I'm being serious here. If they run back beat for beat a similar angle to what went down on Rampage last week, I'd be happy. I thought it was absolutely excellent. The idea of, yeah, Keith Lee took some bumps in the ladder, in the multi-man ladder match, but everyone does. But in terms of, through the lens of a singles run, he hasn't really taken a bump yet. The idea being that he's such this promising guy with title aspirations, undefeated so far, a unit of a fella. The idea that giving him his first proper bump in the context of a one-on-one match or a singles program or whatever has to mean something. Because it's not like Andre, but, you know, someone that size getting taken out should mean something. And I thought they arrived at it in the most perfect way possible. He killed the factory in a very entertaining way, and he killed them all, and it was awesome. And he just beat down the smallest, the mediums, and the bigs. Yeah. In terms of Camarado, Solo, and QT. Conspicuous by his absence was... Anthony Ogogo, who I suspect, given that he was not sort of sacrificed to the maw of Keith Lee, they've got plans for him. So that's encouraging, because I think they need to do something with him soon. But regardless, so he killed all of them. So you've made him look on that night like just the baddest guy in the roster, the hardest guy, invincible, practically. He's beaten up multiple guys at once. So once you have that in the audience's mind, not only does Powerhouse Hobbs look awesome for spine-bustering the guy who's just taken out an entire stable by himself, but Keith Lee loses nothing because he's just taken out a stable by himself. Stable-based booking, even though it was getting a little bit repetitive towards the end of last year when Danielson was going through the Dark Order, and it's like, well, I've done this storyline a million times. It's still the best possible weapon for episodic North American television. And the way that they got the first beating of Keith Lee in the way that it didn't harm his aura one bit, but just enhanced that of Powerhouse Hobbs, was immaculate booking. Like, this is why you book a roster with depth. This is why you use secondary and ancillary characters. It was just majestic booking. And they could run that beat for beat tonight after another short match, because Caster's no threat. He's going to be very amusing on the cell, I expect. So I am really looking forward to watching him just get his arse handed to him in a very amusing way. So they could either run back last week's with Bowens and Caster taking the place of the factory, or they could kind of allude to the fact that, or they could associate Swerve and Keith Lee together.
Well, this is what I was going to get to as well, because Swerve's involved himself in this. I was going to ask you whether or not you thought Swerve could be the next TNT champion. He strikes me as someone who's immediately over, and we're sort of umming and ahhing about Scorpio Sky's TNT title reign following the indifference, let's say, towards the Wardlow match this week on Dynamite. Do you think that it just rocket strap Swerve? I wouldn't mess about with him.
I think Keith Lee's possibly the play.
Mm-hmm.
I want Scorpio Sky to be given every opportunity to succeed. This is a guy who entertained me absolutely no end as part of SCU, and this predates AEW as well. And there's always been that suspicion of, right, okay, is he basically one of the best opening match guys in a trios context that you're likely to see, one of the best tag guys of his era, or can he actually be the star? And I think that the question gets asked enough that he should be given ample time to answer it. But looking beyond that, and unfortunately, I think a lot of people already are, I think looking at the pattern of the booking, like Keith Lee's getting these short wins, like and his streak is gathering quite a bit of pace. So I think the implication is that you're meant to think he is someone. So I'm looking at Keith Lee as the next TNT champion, I honestly am.
And a quick word on the Acclaimed potentially turning babyface.
There's no rush, but if you look at the tag teams that are on the heel side, not only do some of them need wins, like FTR kind of need to start gathering some wins if they want to keep them ahead of a feud of the Bucks. The Bucks could also beat them. Red Dragon will need a team to look good against when in fact they probably fall to Jurassic Express. Basically, what I'm getting at is that the Acclaimed could really do some kind of underdog story. They're already really over.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is in love with them. Anthony Bones is nearly there as a guy who can be depended on to work a great match every single week. He's practically there. Caster's so popular that he can do the... Like, Bones is a hot tag. Babyface would be awesome.
Yeah.
Caster's got such a connection with the crowd that he can just get his ass beat. Like, there's a winning babyface act in there, and at the same time, there's a lot of heel units in AEW that kind of need wins and credibility, so now might be the time.
Also, quick nod to Ricky Starks, who's called, him along with the Acclaimed have now called Keith Lee Cleveland Jr. and that asthma kid from Malcolm in the Middle, both of which are just incredible shots. But yeah, not a good awesome idea to piss off Keith Lee.
No, it's going to be class when Ricky Starks selling Keith Lee's offense. Again, this is why TK is the best booker. Like, his animated, wonderful, beautiful face selling Keith Lee. It's going to be incredible.
Well, let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Rampage tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We've already previewed SmackDown. We've got Wrestle Culture coming your way later with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. And if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, our reviews of both Rampage and SmackDown will be in your feed on Monday as soon as they are released. But for now, this has been the AEW Rampage preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.